I just have this sense in my heart. I am super excited about what God's going to do. The atmosphere in the men of this community is going to change. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're glad that you're here this evening. You ready for the word? To receive the incorruptible word into your hearts and let it change your life. How many have been touched by God on a Wednesday night? Just let me see your hands. All right? Just keep them up for just a minute. Look around. You know, God is doing something. Amen? And he's faithful, so you won't be disappointed tonight either. And it has been assigned to me tonight to talk about that which is more glorious. You ask yourself, can it get more glorious? Yes, it can. Can it get better? Yes, it can. With God, it always gets better. I've been walking with God for decades, and He gets better and better every time. And God is an awesome God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We have been camping out on the glory of God. And God has not said move camp yet. So we're going to be here, and we're going to drill, and we're going to hit a gusher. How many want a gusher? Hallelujah. You know, it's a lot of work drilling, but once that gusher hits, you know, it's like ladies would know about, you know, giving birth. I mean, it's hard carrying that baby, but once that baby's born, you forget all what you went through because the joy is so much better. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's start with verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is God. Did you know what? There's no such thing as a self-made man in the body of Christ. Right? Because our sufficiency comes from God. All right? Even Jesus himself declared that I can do nothing of myself, I can do nothing. But he relied on the Father. He did what he saw his Father do. He said what he heard his Father say. All right? Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Did you know that God made you a minister? What kind of a minister did he make you? An able one. What does that mean? You're able to do whatever he says to you to do. Whatever God speaks to you, you can do. If God says give, give because he has a blessing in mind. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We, people who are born again, and, everybody say and, filled with the Holy Spirit, have an advantage. Jesus did not want to send his disciples out until they were endued with power from on high. He said, wait in Jerusalem because I want to clothe you with my power. So we are able ministers, not of the letter. We are not called to be legalistic representatives of the kingdom of God. But we are called with the Spirit of God. God's heart, God's mind, God's nature. Religion gets over into legalism, but we want to stick with the Spirit, all right? Not apart from the Word. So he's going to start telling us what we have is better than what that they had back long ago. Verse 7. But if the ministration of death, or the ministry of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministry or the ministration of the Spirit rather be glorious? He's telling us that the ministry of the Spirit is more glorious than the ministry that was around when Moses brought the law that God gave to him. Everybody say, we have that which is more glorious. More glorious. I like that. More glorious. Okay? So the ministry of the Spirit is more glorious than the law. Okay? We're going to look at some reasons why that is true. Okay? So the first one, how did God write the law? What did he write it on? He wrote it on stone, right? And can you imagine carrying two stone tablets around with you, right? Wouldn't that be a lot of work in itself? Okay? So our ministry is different because God didn't write it on stone the second time. He writes it on our hearts, the heart of flesh. So initially the law came out, it was written in stone, because he said in verse 7, it was engraved in stones, and it did have some glory to it, didn't it? Moses spent 40 days on the mountain, and when he came down, his face was lit up, and the people couldn't look at it, because he was reflecting the glory of God. If you spend 40 days in God's presence and you're not focused on anything else, you're going to get glory too. You're going to come out of that period of time different. So there was some glory in which the law was given. Moses' face. Now, let me ask you this question. When Moses got the law, how many people were affected by the glory? One, Moses, right? Was anybody else's face shining when he came down the mountain? People were afraid to look at his face. So the first one was written in stone. The second one is written in our heart. The first one, only one benefited from, but the second one, we all get to benefit from. Everybody's face can shine like Moses' face. Because why? We have that which is more glorious. There's an increase in the glory of the ministry of the Spirit versus the ministry of the law. Okay? It was God's plan all along to have His laws, His word, written on our hearts. Okay? Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31. And look at verse 32 and 33. Jeremiah 31, verses 32 and 33. Well, yeah. Let's go to verse 31. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. That's talking about us. All right? Because we're going to... Let me just tell it to you. A Jew is not a Jew based on their features or their characteristics. A Jew is a Jew because they believe in God with their hearts. That's what Romans tells us. Okay? Everybody say, I'm an adopted Jew. We've been engrafted in. Do you realize someone who was born into a family and someone who was adopted to the family, there's no difference in the rights and privileges that they have. They're both family members. They both have the same rights, same privileges, and we've been engrafted in. Okay. All right? So God's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, verse 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. Although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord. Verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. All right, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, there's something happens when God writes His Word on your heart. Okay? When the Spirit of God writes on your heart, it becomes a part of your life. Okay? Oh, this is good. When the Spirit of God writes on your heart, truth becomes a reality. The principles become personal. The script becomes your power. The author gives you authority. The Spirit's writing becomes your way of life. And power directs and moves your life to speak and act like Christ. Shall I go over those again? These are things that happened when the Spirit of God writes God's Word on your heart in your inward parts. Truth becomes a reality. Your reality now for your life is not your feeling, not your experiences. It's what God says. What God says should become a reality in your life when the Spirit of God writes it on your heart. How many left their heart at home tonight? Anybody leave their heart at home tonight? Let me see with a show of hands. See, God designed your heart as the thing to contain and carry the Word of God. And it's got more memory than 35,000 computers put together. There's no limit to how much God can inscribe on your heart. Your heart has the capacity to expand and contain what God wrote. So truth becomes a reality. You're healed not because you see it, not because you feel it. You're healed because He said that by His stripes you are healed. So the reality of what He said now becomes a reality in your life. Okay? Truth becomes reality. Principles become personal. God's laws become personal standards. They become your values. They become why you do what you do. They become the reason why you do what you do. His principles become personal. In other words, you can take God's principles and you can become like the person of Christ. When the Holy Spirit writes in your heart, His principles become personal. You have a personal interest in doing what God wants you to do, in doing what God said. And you become more like the person of Christ. The script becomes your power. What God writes in your heart now becomes the power by which you live. In Him we live and move and have our being. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God are mountains made into molehills. The script becomes your power. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens it. The script becomes your power. An actor becomes a character when they know the script. Why? They memorize the script and they become the character that is written. God wants you to become what he wrote about you. All right? Next thing is the author gives you authority. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And with his authorship, he gives you authority. What for? To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The author gives you authority. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely you give. He authorized them to do what he did. You've been authorized and deputized by Jesus. Because, after all, as we read, he made us able ministers. Okay? So the script becomes your power. The author gives you authority. Okay, the Spirit's writing becomes your way of life. When you allow God to write his word in your heart, it changes you from the inside out. He takes out a heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. He takes out bitterness and gives you sweetness. He does a heart transplant. And the Spirit's writing then becomes a way of life. We then live to do what he said. The Bible is amazing. It's the only book that you can live by. Why? It's eternal. It's God-breathed. It's heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. My word is forever established in heaven. So then, you change the way you live based on what's written. Not what you feel. Not what you think. But what he said. I do what I do because Jesus said. I don't do what I don't do because he said don't do it. Amen? And then finally, the power that he gives you, it directs and moves your life to speak and act like Christ. Be imitators of God, Ephesians says. Be ye imitators of God. Be holy. Why? Because I'm holy. Well, how can I be holy? Not on your own, but I'll give you my holiness, and you can be holy with my holiness, says the Lord. Then his power begins to direct and move our life to speak and act like Christ. Okay? Let's just dig into this just a little bit further before we go on. Okay? What happens when God writes in our heart? Romans 2:29 says this. This is from the Living Bible. It says, a real Jew is anyone whose heart is right with God. For God is not looking for those who cut their bodies in actual body circumcision, but he is looking for those with changed hearts and minds. Whoever has that kind of change in his life will get his praise from God. So, when God wanted a king for Israel, what did he look at? He looked at his heart. He didn't look at his height. He didn't look at his strength. He didn't look at his ability as a warrior. He looked to his heart. All right? Ephesians 6, verses 5 and 8. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart. As to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God goodwill, doing services to the Lord, not to men. Did you know that within you there is a hidden man of the heart? That's the real you. That's your spirit. Did you know that with the heart, man believes to righteousness, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:10? So your heart has a lot to do with it. What's in your heart will determine what's in your life. Oh, if you've got things in your life that you don't like, then you need to change your heart. Because out of the heart flow the issues of life. Our hearts are important. That's why God wants to write His law on our hearts. In other words, at home, I have a picture of Jesus with the entire book of Matthew. It's written in words, but the words make the picture of Jesus. Oh, here's the... God wants to write on your heart where your heart now starts to look like Him and sound like Him and resemble Him. When you allow God to write His word on your heart, it changes the formation of your heart into something that God can use. He literally changes the shape and the capacity of our heart because His words are written on it. All right, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 3. Let's go to verse 9. Okay, verse 8 says, how shall not the ministration of the ministry of the Spirit be rather glorious? Verse 9, the ministry of condemnation, if the ministry of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness exceed in glory. Can you see that? Okay? Listen, the ministry of the law brought condemnation. Why? The law tells you you're a sinner. The law tells you you need to change. The law tells you this is wrong. But the Spirit is not condemnation, it's righteousness. With the Spirit, it says, this is the right way. Come here, I'll show you. This is how to do it. Come here, I'll help you. This is how you do it. I'll do it through you. The ministry of the law brings condemnation, but the ministry of the Spirit brings righteousness, and it exceeds much more glory. If you were traveling in a glory vehicle, you'd go slow if you're traveling in the law, but you'd go a whole lot faster if you're traveling in the Spirit. Why? The Spirit puts the pedal to the metal. It exceeds in glory. You've exceeded the glory limit. Woo! I'm telling you, when you get so full of the glory of God, you will find that you have to express it in more than words. I mean, your body just can't take sitting still in the glory of God. Because when the glory of God comes in, it is expressive, it is powerful, it is magnificent, it is awesome. You know, when Solomon dedicated the temple, he built this temple that David provided all the provisions for. David wanted to build the temple, but God said no. But he said, your son Solomon's going to build it. But David said, well, God didn't say I couldn't provide for it. So David, with all his heart, provided everything that Solomon needed to build the temple. And then he built the temple. And the Bible said that they had a dedication ceremony. And they had 120 priests and singers. And the Bible said they all sang as one. And when they did, the glory of God filled the temple. And the Bible said that the priests couldn't stand to minister. So if you can't stand, what are you doing? You're laying down. Why were you laying down? Because the glory was so thick, so heavy, so awesome, so incredible, that they couldn't even move. All they could do was lay down. That's why when some people encounter the glory, you lay down. Why? Because it's too much to take standing up. But what he's saying is that the glory that we have now with the Spirit is greater glory. It's more glorious. It's more wonderful. It's more awesome. It's more incredible. Amen? How many want more? More is a good word, isn't it? Unless you've eaten two plates of food and you want more. That may not be so good. But more in God is good. Is God into giving more? When God fed the 5,000, was there much more left over? When God saved you, did He not give you much more than you thought you could ever have? Our God is a much more God. He uses words like abundance, overflowing, eternal, everlasting. Those are not limited words. Abounding. All sufficiency in all things. So that you can abound to every good work. Okay? Let's look at verse 11. Let's see another reason why this ministry is more glorious than the previous one. Verse 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more. Ooh, I love those two words together. Everybody just say, much more. Say it one more time. Much more. One more time. Much more. I want you to get a picture of much more. Who? If that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. The ministry of the law was meant to be temporary. Why? Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the law, but to what? Fulfill the law. If the law is fulfilled, do you need it anymore? If Jesus fulfilled everything that the law required, do we need another way to get to heaven? No. What Jesus did was enough for everybody. You talk about much more. One man turned the entire loss of sin into a plus. Through one man, sin came into the world, but through one man, life came in, forgiveness came in, righteousness came in, glory came in, healing came in, salvation came in. He's so much more that He affected everybody on the planet. We do not, thank God we don't have to sacrifice cows and bulls and calves and sheep anymore. Can you imagine having to bring your goat here tonight and sacrifice it so that you can be forgiven of sin? Having to shed all that blood and, you know, go through all that stuff? He did away with that. That's why what we have is much better. It's more glorious. It's better for us. We have to do less. The law was meant to be temporary. It was simply a schoolmaster to show you that you needed a sin. But the Bible clearly says that you do not become righteous by following the law. You become righteous by having faith in Jesus Christ. Why? If you could do the law, then you would get the glory for what you do. But you can't do the law. No one can do the law. The law was so intense that no one could fulfill it. It was designed that way. But grace is not that way. Salvation is not that way. You don't have to bring a cow. All you have to do is bring faith. Faith is much better than bringing a bull. Yes, there was some glory, but the glory that we have, the glory that we can benefit from, is better than what they had. the glory that we have lasts forever. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, and if you leave this earth, you have qualified to spend the rest of your time in glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Its effects are forever. Its effects are permanent. Hallelujah. Go to verse 13. He said, "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away." Anybody who does not believe in Jesus Christ has a veil over their hearts. They're blinded from seeing the light, because this veil is covered. All right, but notice this. Verse 15, "But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away." So what do you have to do to remove the veil? Simply turn to the Lord. The moment a person turns to the Lord, the veil that was covering their heart is taken away, and they can see things as they are. Okay? So under the old, Moses had to wear a veil, but under the new, we don't have to wear a veil. We can be bold about it. Okay? Verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. Freedom, release of captivity, an unbinding, an opening of a prison." You know, a spiritual prison has no bars, but it can keep a person locked into bondage. But where is the Spirit of the Lord now? Where is he? Huh? He's on the earth, but more specifically, where is he? He's in our hearts. Did you know that you have the liberator in your hearts? And because you have the liberator in your heart, he gives you liberty. You are free to express yourself to God. You are free to live a life for God without restriction. You don't have to carry around these stone plates, these stone tablets. You can carry it around in your heart. God made the ability to do his word much more mobile. He downloaded a heavenly app right into your heart. You didn't have to buy it. It was free. When he downloaded an app into your heart, you have a direct connection to the Father. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, if the Spirit of the Lord is in you, then you have liberty. You have freedom. That ought to get some people excited. No more bondage. No more bondage. Now I'm free with liberty. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's a song from Keith Moore. No more bondage, but glorious liberty. I don't know. You guys don't think that liberty is that great, because no one is celebrating the fact that they have liberty in their heart. You're sitting there, oh, that's a nice concept. No, it's a reality. If you're free, let's just take a little test. If you're free, check, act like it. Okay, so some of you are getting it. What does a free person do? A free person is unrestricted. See, a free person doesn't care what others think. Come on, you just enjoy freedom. Come on, you're getting it. Lord, help him. Help him become free. Help him become free, Lord. You're free right now. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If he's in your heart, then you are free. You're free from sin. You're free from sickness. You're free from bondage. You're free from oppression. You're free from depression. You got to look at verse 18. But we all, how many? With open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. You can look in the glory of God. Why? Because the glory of God is right here. The glory of God is right here. You can look. This is not the Bible called a mirror. You can look into the mirror, the perfect law of liberty. Did you know that the Bible is the law of liberty? Now get this. Let me just tell you what makes our thing better. Can I just throw some better things out there in the last couple minutes? Number one, we have a better revelation. Why? Back then, only the prophet, the priest, and the king had the Spirit of God, but God speaks to us directly by the Son. We have a better revelation. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. We have a better, God speaks to us in a better way by His Son. He's the heir of all things. He's the creator. He's the brightness of the glory. He's the express image of the Father. Did you know that people in the Old Testament did not have a direct connection to God? They had to go through the prophet to get direction. They had to go through the priest to get instruction. But you and I, we have a direct line, a direct connection. We have a Jesus phone. Like Batman had a bat phone, we have a Jesus phone. We have a direct line to heaven any time of the day, any day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You can come into God's throne and you're connected with the Father. Number two, Hebrews 7 verses 18 to 28, we have a better hope. Whew. We can draw near to God through the high priest, Jesus, who gives us a better hope, a better expectation. Hebrews 7, verses 20 to 28, we have a better priesthood. He is forever. He is unchangeable, and He saves to the uttermost. Oh, Hebrews 8, 6, we have a better covenant. The Bible says we have a better covenant established on better promises. Better promises. Whew. We have a better covenant. The first one is obsolete, but God gave us an upgrade. All right? Hebrews 9:23. Our covenant is secured with better sacrifices. What kind of sacrifices? Jesus entered into the real heaven, not the copy. He entered into the real thing. He took His real blood. He appeared in God's presence, and His sacrifice ended all sacrifices. We don't have to sacrifice anymore because Jesus sacrificed enough for us all. We have better sacrifices. We have better possessions in heaven. Did you not know that we can store treasures in heaven? Where they don't rust, they're not corrupted, the moth can't get to them. We can put treasures in heaven. We have better possessions. Oh, heaven is a better country. They look for a better country whose maker is God. Hebrews 11, 16. Hebrews 10, 24 is better possessions. Hebrews 9, 23 is better sacrifices. Oh, Hebrews 11, 35. Whew, we have a better resurrection. Oh, we have a better resurrection. We go from corruption to incorruption. We go from dishonor to glory. We go from weakness to power. We go from the natural to the spiritual. That sounds to me like an upgrade. We have a better home in heaven. We have better citizenship. I'm telling you, what we have today is better than what David had. It's better than what Elijah had. It's better than what Daniel had. It's better than what Esther had. Not taking anything away. They believed God. But ours is better. We have better benefits. We have better righteousness. It's the same. But we have better glory. We have a greater, we can have a greater joy about the things that God's given us. Did you know that God's kingdom consists of three main things? Romans 14 says, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God wants to give you some joy tonight. Amen? If you want better power, if you want better miracles, if you want better results, then grab a hold of that which is more glorious. And get a hold of God tonight. How do you get a hold of God? You believe. You believe. You do it by faith. Can you believe? Say, I'm a believer. That means you just honor God's word. You embrace it with everything you got, and you hold on to it. And if you're here tonight, and you need prayer in your life, God wants to touch you. God wants to do something for you. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf. God will show himself strong to those whose hearts are loyal to him. Amen? Now, your loyalty has got to consist more of just coming to church when they have church. Your loyalty means you walk with God every day. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means that if you miss it, you have a way out. You can ask forgiveness. And God will restore. You know, the quicker you repent, the quicker you'll be restored. So if you need prayer tonight, I know that there's some people here tonight that need prayer. Come on up. And I believe that God's going to touch you. Father, we give you thanks and praise, moving by your Holy Spirit. Tonight you come down Zion to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels. Hallelujah. You know, and I want to encourage you as you come. The only way that you're going to score for your team is if you get in the game. You were never meant to be a bench warmer. Everybody has a part in the game. And if you want to score, you got to get in the game. Right? That means you got to worship when worship. You got to be engaged when it's time to be engaged. You got to react when it's time to react. You got to get in the game. You can't just sit there like a frog in the log looking for flies. No, you got to get in the game. Hallelujah. Ooh, this is different. It's like God is getting ready to give you a new hat. A beautiful hat that was handcrafted just for you. Ooh, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, just put that on her head and crown her with glory. In the name of Jesus. God's going to increase the pressure. There's going to be more force coming out in the name of Jesus.